the Bishop of Bath and Wells, the Reverend Peter Price.
I am frightened we are hurtling towards a war that will not have, that will have unseen and unforeseeable consequences. For we will not only fight a wicked regime, but enter a war that could devastate and destroy our friends. My mind goes back to a visit to Iraq in 1999. I was invited, among others, including the Bishop of Coventry, to a lunch with a Christian family. At his table, our host welcomed us, our Iraqi minders, secret police and drivers, and he took a large unleavened bread, broke it, sharing it with us and saying in Arabic, "Under God we are all one as we share this bread." Before the meal ended, he beckoned me for a quiet moment in his garden, telling me in a few hastily grabbed moments what life was like. It was not good. His action that lunchtime put him and his family in danger. But he went on to say, "I'm making a garden for peace. And it's on the site of a bomb crater. Come and sit with me under this fig tree." And in that moment, I reflected on the words of the prophet Micah. "Nation shall not lift up sword against nation, or ever again be trained to make war. But each one will sit down under his own vine and fig tree, and no one will trouble him." Today, I wonder what will happen to such people as my friend if we go to war, the one who practiced in his own country love of enemies. This march today represents people of all faiths and none. We represent people who believe war can at times be justified, and we represent those who believe that war is always wrong. But what unites us is a sense that preparations for war that could begin with a unilateral preemptive strike is illegal, immoral, and unwise. Let there be no mistake. Let there be no mistake. We regard Saddam and his regime as a real threat to his own people, neighboring countries, and to the world. Saddam must end repression of his people, abandon his efforts to develop weapons of mass destruction, and respect the legitimate role of the United Nations as it ensures that he does. But our nations must pursue these goals in a manner consistent with moral principles, international law, and political wisdom. We must be guided by the vision of a world in which nations stop seeking to resolve their problems by making war. Within the traditions of Judaism, Islam, and Christianity, there is teaching that obliges governments and citizens to work for the avoidance of war. Today we are demonstrating for peace. But are we peace lovers or peacemakers? We must only demand of governments that they work for peace, but we too ourselves as citizens must change our attitudes to peacemaking so that it becomes as natural as breathing. Demonstrations rarely change things immediately. What changes things is when people find in their hearts a new resolve, a new courage to shape the world differently. War may come, and if it comes, do we simply shrug our shoulders and walk away and say, "We demonstrated in Hyde Park, but there you go"? For true peacemaking is demanding. It demands new attitudes from all of us. It demands we open our eyes to see all humanity as one and equal. It demands we recognize a bomb dropped on an Iraqi, a Palestinian or Jew is as a bomb dropped on any one of us. Peacemaking demands no more unilateral. Actions by powerful nations. Peacemaking demands the dismantling of all weapons of mass destruction. Peacemaking demands that we find common ground by moving to higher ground, by learning to build new institutions internationally, ending world's debt, and revitalizing the United Nations so that it truly serves all humanity. Today we give a simple message: stop the war, contain and disarm Saddam. But building world peace does not happen through slogans or rallies, but through citizens and governments that pray peace, think peace, speak peace, act peace. Yeah. Jesus of Nazareth was the greatest peace activist of all, and he said, "Blessed are the peacemakers, they shall be called the children of God. Thank you.
Someone just asked me, he said, what did you